Blog Talk Radio.
We call her Spooky. And so we want to welcome all of you for joining us today as we interview and have a tabletop conversation with Larry Myers. Again, we are the masterclass for Thinking Grow Rich. This program is hosted by the International Mastermind Association. And I want to bring my co-host on to say good morning, everybody. And then we will get right into the show because today we're talking about one of my favorite chapters in the book, the chapter entitled The Principle of Imagination. So good morning, Ursula, you're first, and good morning, Fakim.
Good morning. And I love this chapter because imagination is where my mind floats around. So I love hearing about how everyone relates to this particular chapter. It's my favorite.
Awesome, awesome. Fakim, good morning.
Good morning. This book, this chapter, man, look at that. I'm definitely already, I am clamping down, ready to embrace this chapter, ready to go a deep dive, and I'm so excited about our guest. Perfect person to be here today, share with us his brilliance. I'm very excited. And check out you, you sunny girl down there in Ann.
Yes, this is summertime, and I'm sporting my summer wear. So enjoy, no matter when you see this or hear it, I am in my summer wear today, sporting summertime. So we're going to go ahead and get right into the show. But before we do that, I want to just make sure that our guests, if you're listening in for the very first time, and you may or may not be familiar with the principles of this book or the story behind the story, please know this. Andrew Carnegie, the billionaire during his day, asked Napoleon Hill if he would take 20 years, and do the research on the most successful people living. Mm-hmm. But the caveat was that he would not pay Napoleon Hill a dime, not a penny. He asked Napoleon Hill if he would be willing to do the research. And I want to ask each one of you, as you listen to us today, what are you willing to do as you use your imagination for 20 years without getting paid? How about 10 years? 5 years? A year? How about a month? A week? Okay. How about one day? What are you willing to do for yourself? Because you see, what Andrew Carnegie told Hill is this. Your pay will come from what you learn, you will earn. And I want to share with each of you, on behalf of all of our co-hosts today, your pay will come from what you learn, from that you will earn. So as a part of that, we're talking about how do you use your imagination. And I'll just read just simply what Napoleon Hill says about imagination. He says the imagination, your imagination we're talking about, is the workshop of your mind. It is the fifth step to riches. Your imagination is literally the workshop wherein are fashioned all plans created by humankind. The impulse, the desire, is given shape, form, and action through the aid of the imaginative faculty of your mind. It has been said that anything that can be created, which a human being can imagine. Now, when we talk about imagination, for those of you that are following us, I'm on page 92. There are two forms of imagination. Napoleon Hill shares with us. The first form is known as synthetic imagination. The other is creative imagination. He goes on to say that synthetic imagination, through this faculty, you can arrange old concepts, ideas, or plans into new combinations. This faculty creates nothing. It merely works with the material of experience, education, and observation with which it is fed. It is the faculty used most by the inventor, with the exception of the genius, who draws upon creative imagination. Now, let's talk about creative imagination, and we're going to get into the show. Creative imagination, through the faculty of creative imagination, the finite human mind has direct communication with infinite intelligence. It is the faculty through which hunches, we're talking about your hunches now, we're going to make this personal to you as you listen. Through your hunches, your inspiration are received. It is by this faculty that all basic or new ideas are handed over to you, faculty that through vibrations of thought and influences from your mind and the minds of others are received. It is through this faculty that you may tune in or communicate with the subconscious mind of others. Now, I'm going to stop there because that's the backstory and the foundation upon which this program, this show is based today. And I am very excited because every time I read this, since 1979, I find something new. But also, I am more committed to listen to that still small voice within me. What about you? Do you ever hear that voice? Maybe. Well, I would suggest this. If you're interested in learning how, just stay tuned to this show because we're going to get into the show starting with our special guest. And he is actually we met through Napoleon Hill Foundation. You remember that, Larry?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yes, we actually met through the foundation. But first I'm going to tell you a little bit about Larry, and then I'm going to ask Larry to tell you a lot about himself. All right, our special guest today is Larry Myers, and he is an information technology analyst and project management professional. Larry, I could read all of this information, but I think that it would serve us best to have you come on and share, and then as the show progresses, we'll talk about our experience with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, because I think that one of the things that I'd like to hear from you as you share about yourself first, but then also share with us a little bit about why did you decide to invest in yourself and get the Napoleon Hill certification and make all of that investment of time, talents, and treasure, because that's where we actually met for the very first
time. All right.
Very good. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, that was back in, actually, that was March 2015.
Wow.
March 2015. And it was an adventure just to get there. I'll never forget that the day that I was supposed to fly out was a Monday. And we had an ice storm the night before. So I ended up arriving. It was an all day trip just to get there. And I was about four to five hours late. But I decided, you know, prior to that, that it was essentially an investment in myself. I wanted to know more about the Napoleon Hill philosophy, and I wanted to, you know, to get the certification. In fact, prior to that, I had just become aware that there was such a thing as a Napoleon Hill certification. I didn't realize that until maybe 6 months earlier. So it's like, wow, that's something I need to do. So, you know, I made the investment because I wanted to know more about the philosophy and how I could use it to benefit myself.
Mm. Well, let's talk about that. If you will just share with our audience and our listeners a little about how did you get here, a little bit about yourself, and how were you initially introduced to this philosophy?
I was introduced to the philosophy through reading. You know, I'm an avid reader, so it has to be 30, 40 years ago that I became aware of Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich. I mean, to me, that book is foundational for the genre of self-help and self-thought that we have today. You could literally take any current author or any self-help concept And I think you could draw a line back to Napoleon Hill. You know, I mean, obviously, the philosophy of self-help and thought didn't originate with him, but I think what he did was codify it in such a way, and it goes back to Andrew Carnegie. You know, Andrew Carnegie was the spark for him, and you know, that philosophy has been helpful to the world, if you will. And I became aware of it, and I've read the book several times, and it's foundational for me in the way that, you know, I think now. You know, I mean, that book and that book alone is not the reason I think the way I do, but it forms a part of my thought process and my philosophy. Because I think if you took Think and Grow Rich, you could trace that back to previous books, one of which is the Bible. So, you know.
Absolutely. I see Bagheen is trying very hard to ask a question. Go ahead, Bagheen. Go ahead. You're leaning forward. Go ahead, Bagheen.
So as an IT professional, as a project manager, as someone who is just intentional about every aspect of what you do, I love that you were drawn to this book. You know, we have a lot of people, you know, and they're like, they're effusive.
Mm-hmm.
And why I love you is because I want to hear in your quiet nature, which is so good and so delicious, how has this process helped you evolve? How has this book transformed your life, especially in the world of IT and the world of project management and your own self-growth?
Mm-hmm. Well, the book has been influential in the way that I think. Again, to relate that to the world of IT, you know, IT has you know, it's process driven. It's process driven. So if you're going to do, say, you know, if you want to develop an application, if you want to develop something that meets a need, the first thing that you do is start with the idea, with the concept itself. And from that, that's how you build upon it. You know, for projects, for instance, you know, the idea is to start with what the requirement is. What is it that you're trying to do? And then you essentially build on that. And I think I could draw a line back to Think and Grow Rich. The book is about helping us to become successful in whatever we do. And at the very core, the book presents a set of steps of processes, if you will. In fact, I can relate each step to a particular thought or way in which to think about things. And it's not taking the steps individually, but it's the synthesis of them that you know you use to derive whatever goal or strategy that you use. So in that sense, it's been very influential to me. You know, it informs the way I think. And again, going back to you know, current literature, current authors, I think it's influenced a lot of people, even if they don't give credit to the book itself, you know, but I think you can derive that.
Well, you just did a perfect segue, because the process of Think and Grow Rich, if I can, and I'm going to just read the 13 steps so that,
yes.
I think that people, you know, understand there's a process that's going on. So these are the 13 chapters of Think and Grow Rich and their process. 1, desire, the starting point of all achievement, the first step of riches. 2, faith, visualization and belief in the attainment of desire, the second step to riches. 3, auto-suggestion, the medium of influencing the subconscious mind, the third step to riches. 4, specialized knowledge, personal experiences or observations, the fourth step to riches. 5, imagination, what we're studying today, the workshop of the mind, the fifth step to riches. 6, organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action, the sixth step to riches. Decision, the mastery of procrastination, the seventh step to riches. 8, persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith, the eighth step to riches. 9, power of the mastermind, you're experiencing it right here, the driving force, the ninth step to riches. 10, the mystery of sex transmutation, the 10th step to riches. 11, the subconscious mind, the connecting link, the 11th step to riches. 12, the brain, a broadcasting and receiving station of for thought, the 12th step of riches. And 13, the sixth step, sense, the door to the temple of wisdom, the 13th step to riches. And we always get the deep, deep, deep dive in the epilogue of how to outwit the six ghosts of fear and taking inventory of yourself. So, Larry, thank you for making this segue to that commercial. And don't you just love those 13 steps?
Yes, Sakeen, yes, I do. And I also love the sun. As you can see, I've moved inside so I can be a little cooler. But, Sakeen, I think that right now what I'd like to do is have Larry just share with us a little about the impact that this particular principle of imagination has had on you and your business. And so when you think about your knowledge of the book, this particular principle, can you share with us one example of how do you use your imagination, either synthetic or creative?
Okay. Well, the chapter on imagination has been an interesting one. You know, as I've read and just observed how imagination has been used by others, you know, I draw learning from that. One of the ways that I became aware of how influential imagination is by reading about Olympic athletes. You know, they go through the physical process of studying, of working through the physical process of doing whatever sport they're doing, but then they also use their imagination when they're not on the field, when they're not running, when they're not doing their gymnastics, they're actually imagining themselves carrying out the steps that they need to carry out to achieve success in their various sports. I've used the very same thing myself in terms of my career. Say for instance, if I wanted to, if I have a project that I'm leading, or if I'm going to be coordinating the steps to carry out an objective, I will imagine the successful outcome of that and then essentially rehearse it prior to actually doing it. So that's how I would use my imagination, in the sense that I actually rehearse beforehand. Another example outside of work would be where I've used imagination within my drama ministry. So in fact that's a perfect example. One of the books that I was most taken with was God's Trombones by James Weldon Johnson. It's a series of, I believe it's 9 poems. And the poems are in my mind, they're epic, because he's put into verse such things as the creation, the Exodus. He's put into verse death, you know, I mean, just real life things. And I've been able to use my imagination to memorize those poems and then present them through to the congregation. And imagination has been, you know, the tool that I use to do that. And I still use that tool today, you know. Pardon me?
I just want to ask you a question about that.
Sure.
If I can. You are an IT project manager,
mm-hmm.
and you chose to use something that uses your imagination as your extracurricular activity. Was that drive of the, you know, drama and IT are like different.
Right.
How did this book and this chapter help you say that I had the courage to try something new? I've done this IT, I've been in my office looking at projects and being there. How did you use your imagination to shift into a drama?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the two have sort of gone in parallel. As I've you know, worked the trade of IT, one of the things that I knew firsthand was my effectiveness in IT is built upon my ability to communicate my ideas. So for a long time now, actually probably 20 plus years, I became aware of the Toastmasters organization. So typically in large businesses, government agencies, there's a Toastmasters club that's been formed to help people develop their communication skills. And I've done Toastmasters for probably 20 plus years, starting out with, you know, the basics and then progressing through higher designations. And because I was always honing my craft in communication, you know, one of the manuals that you work your way through in terms of advanced communications titles was, I think it was poetry and something of that nature. But it was actually a manual where you work through five prepared speeches to get a higher designation. And it was from there that I actually sort of segued into the drama. Initially, it was just about being able to communicate within a business meeting or within a large environment. So, you know, that I sort of took the learning that I learned within Toastmasters, and then I took that into the church environment. And it was very effective, because I have folks say to me, wow, I can't do that, or I'm afraid to do that. But once you've practiced enough, you get over your fear, you get over yourself and thinking so much about yourself, and it becomes about more about the message and what you're trying to project to people. And you're comfortable with that.
Hey, Ursula.
Yeah.
You think you've been using some imagination there?
I think I've been listening to this unfold, your life unfold, and I can relate to so many different things, because I started in drama, spent 20 years as a computer analyst and in the computer world, and I came out writing a poetry book. And so what I was going to ask you, you pretty much answered, but I want to share something from page 103. It says, ideas are intangible forces, but they have more power than the physical brains that bring them that give birth to them. They have the power to live on after the brain that creates them has returned to dust. For example, and it goes on and talks about Christianity and how it was Jesus's, well, God's idea And it started years and years, thousands of years ago, and it's still not complete. But when I look at what you do in terms of drama, we bring to life, as you did earlier, the spirit of those people that are no longer here in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
God's trombone still lives.
Absolutely.
Its author still lives. So you're bringing together the imagination, or bringing out the imagination of someone who had some thought and wanted it to live beyond himself, whether he thought about that or not. I'm sure everybody who creates something wants that ultimately. How do you pull all of that together as you decide what you're going to present and who you're going to present,
mm-hmm.
how you tie those things together?
Great question. Thank you. So one of the things that I use is for some reading or some poem or something to touch me, it resonates with me. And once it resonates with me, then the next step is to basically to capture that. And I use my imagination to capture that. One of the, again, this is going back to God's trombones. I started out with the first and probably the most well-known of the poems, which is The Creation. And he talks about, he puts into verse form the creation of the universe. And it's one of them. In fact, I memorized this poem long before I went into drama and worked with the drama ministry, because it was just something that touched me. And that's really the start for me. If it resonates with me, I want to memorize it. And actually, that goes to, I memorize because it's a way of actually exercising the mind and exercising the brain, right? So when I commit something to memory, it's to continually work my brain. And in a related matter, I guess it was maybe 15, 20 years ago, when I saw my father, his memory start to go, right? And it scared me, you know? And I think that's where I started to really emphasize and start to memorize things, because I was like, I don't want that to happen to me, you know? And I was naive at the time. You know, I've come to learn that even if you memorize, you know, 100 books, it makes no difference, you know? If your memory goes, it goes. But it's been worth the effort and worth the process because of what it's, you know, it's what it's given me. And one of the things that I take from my effort at using my imagination, the Bible actually says, when you memorize something, you write it on the tablet of your heart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you write it on the tablet of your heart, and that's what I've done.
So with your saying that, now I'm not that you have to repeat your affirmations, but speak to that process. I mean, I would imagine that the affirmation process is something that you could do a deep dive into.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, affirmations, auto-suggestion, that's the tie-in. You know, when you affirm something, you're using auto-suggestion to use your mind to focus on the positive. You're using your mind to focus on the positive. And Napoleon Hill has many different, you know, recipes, if you will, about using suggestion to basically program yourself. And that's what I've done. You know, and again, when you use auto-suggestion, you're programming your mind in such a way that you want it to work positively. If you don't use auto-suggestion, basically what you're doing is letting your mind be an open target for anything that comes into it. And those are the things that if you allow those things to internalize in your mind, then what you're doing is using your imagination in a negative way. You're dwelling on things that you don't necessarily want. Again, the philosophy of Napoleon Hill is focus on what you want. And by doing so, you eliminate the things that you don't want. And that one of my I wouldn't call it a regret, but it is a, I guess maybe it is regret. I'm regretful that I haven't been able to use or to influence members of my family in such a way that they would use this philosophy for themselves more so, and not let the world affect them as it has.
Mm. Well, just as a bit of encouragement in that arena, sometimes it's not as you see them, but as you leave your spirit with them. And I don't mean that you have to be dead and gone, but maybe you moved out of the state and they're following your philosophy and just haven't had the time to tell you about it yet. So sometimes you have an impact on people in their lives and you don't know it. So if you speak it enough, they hear it. Mm-hmm. And one day they'll realize that it's in their head.
I agree.
And I'd like to just interject, Larry, because that's what you just expressed is one of the reasons why we do this show. We've been doing this show now almost 12 or 13 years for that exact reason. And many of us are finding that they come along. It's just like going to church. You know, I think more people join the church while they're attending somebody's funeral than by invitation, if you will. And so in sharing the philosophy, and you're doing a phenomenal job with that this morning, because we're getting texts and chats where people are definitely relating to your story. You are doing exactly what you're called to do, because remember, we may not reap where we plant. We do reap what we sow, but we may not reap where we plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so just know that all God's children are your relatives.
Amen.
And so right now you have no regrets, really, because you're doing exactly what your heart desired. You drew us to you and you to us with that desire and these principles of bringing back full force, if you will, mm-hmm. your desire by giving you a platform that's an international platform to share the principles and how you're using those principles in your life through the stories. So this has just been phenomenal. Like I said, we have people calling in on the radio. We're on the International Mastermind radio show right now, live. It's airing all over the world. And we're also on Facebook Live, so you can tell your Facebook friends hello. And we're also on the Zoom platform.
Mm-hmm.
So I also would like for you to share with us, how are you using the philosophy and these principles? How do you anticipate using them moving forward?
Moving forward, I would continue to use, you know, to refer back to his principles. I think that this is a source book. This is a reference for me, and you know, things like, I mean, when we go to the different principles, desire, specialized knowledge. That's one that I continue to use now. In fact, in the IT world, my focus has been on getting my next certification, which is built upon the cloud. Let's face it, we hear about the cloud all the time, right? There's AWS, Amazon Web Services, there's Google Cloud, there's Microsoft Azure. And that's the one that I'm focusing on. But the cloud is one that I'm pursuing, and that's a form of specialized knowledge. Again, the imagination, I'm using my imagination to see myself successfully achieving that certification. And then it goes back to another principle that I've had to learn over and over. And that is that you have to focus. You can't an old saying, you can't chase but one rabbit, and you have to focus. And what I've done with this current cert that I'm working is I've basically had to put other things aside and just use most of my focus on pursuing that bit of specialized knowledge. As I've gotten older, I've come to realize that, you know, there's various things that you do in terms of using your mind. Some things are easier to do than others. If I'm watching TV or watching, you know, something that's, for the most part, mindless and takes no effort, that's easy. But if I'm studying something and I'm trying to impress that upon myself, that's difficult. You know, it's harder, but it's worth the effort that it takes. And I find that I find that when I'm studying, I have to use a brief burst of energy, mental energy and thought and study this, and then I'll go away and just relax my mind. So, you know, I try to do that throughout the day, to have multiple study sessions versus one long study session. You know, so another principle that I'll carry with me for my life is persistence. You cannot achieve anything of substance if you don't persist. You know, that's a lesson that is constantly reinforced. You know, I've got things that I want to do that go beyond, you know, the next 6 months, but you have to focus. And again, I go back to that certification. I'll continue to work and you know, study towards that certification. But then beyond that, I want to do some things that are outside of IT. I want to do some writing. I want to do some video editing and things like that. And that's another form of specialized knowledge. So the book continues to impact me in the way that I know that my thoughts, it's the focus of my thoughts and the quality of my thoughts that allow me to achieve what I want to achieve.
That's amazing. I just want to jump in because Darlene Corbett is putting just said, you were talking about your impact. She just wrote, she's listening with a copy of the book. This is most inspiring and a great reminder of our imagination. So just so you know, Larry, you are touching our lives through your stories and your sharing. And I just had to read on page 102 something that you just said. The story of practically every great fortune starts with the day when a creator of ideas and a seller of ideas get together and work in harmony. Carnegie surrounded himself with people who could do all that he could not do, people who created ideas, people who put ideas into operation, and by doing so, made himself and the others fabulously rich. Millions of people go through life hoping for favorable breaks. Perhaps a favorable break can get one an opportunity. But the safest plan is not to depend upon luck. It was a favorable break that gave me the biggest opportunity of my life. But 25 years of determined effort to be devoted to that opportunity before it ever became an asset. And we jump over to on 1-3 where it says ideas are like that. First you give life and action and guidance to ideas. Then they take on power of their own and sweep aside all opposition. Ideas are intangible forces, but they have more power than the physical brains that give birth to them. They have the power to live on after the brain that creates them has returned to dust. I truly believe that what your story and what you're sharing with us is allowing us to be at this. You just taught us a lot, Larry. That's basically what I'm saying, and I appreciate that. And just before we go, Anne, can I just ask Ursula to share about the annual event of the International Mastermind Association?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, I will. That is an event that takes place in January of each year by the master builder, Ms. Anne McNeil. She brings it all together. But what it does is it makes you determine how committed are you to your own goals and dreams, because she makes you face them, write them down, and be held accountable to it in the accountability meeting. So it is a wonderful experience that is suitable for all ages, from age 6 to 60 or maybe 90 or however old you are that you're still floating around enjoying life. It is for you to have goals and dreams and then talk to people of like minds about that. It happens every January, the first weekend of the month. And check it out and be there.
Yes, and people can actually register by going to our website at internationalmasterminders.com, but they can also go to Eventbrite and just put in the annual Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability Meeting. But also, I want to, before we close out, Larry, are there any challenges as relates to this philosophy that maybe you have experienced you'd like to share? Because I want to make sure people understand that this is a lifelong learning experience, and it's not going to always be easy.
Mm-hmm.
So we want you to know that you will have trials, you will have tribulations, you will have challenges and struggles, but there is a way to go through those with these principles by staying focused on your desire. That was the first chapter of the book, and everything is built upon that chapter, because if you're clear about what you want, you may be willing to go through almost anything to get it. So have there been any challenges that these principles have brought about that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think one of the challenges for me has been the actual principle of the mastermind. Even at this point, I mean, that continues to be a challenge for me. I mean, I don't know if I've used that principle successfully as I would like. And I continue to work with that. I know that with the mastermind principle, if you have four people that are together and they're pursuing a particular goal, there's a fifth mind created. That's the accumulated or the overall mind is created from the other four. And that continues to be a challenge for me in the sense that I don't feel that I've used that principle and achieved the type of mastermind, if you will, with others. That continues to be a challenge for me. So, I'll continue to work that, again, going back to the principle of persistence. So that continues to be a challenge for me. It continues to inspire me, though, because this is a philosophy and it's a thought process and a way of life that I'll continue to use for all of my life.
Well, we have something for that, right?
I'm definitely going to plug into that because I know that there's more. There's more, and that's a goal of mine.
Well, Pekin has, if you are a woman, Pekin has Power Women Mastermind, but it's only for women. And Ursula and I are part.
Sexist, isn't that?
No, wait. We have something for you and everybody else who's listening.
Okay.
We have what's called the International Mastermind Association. And that was really the reason this organization was created, because there are lots of people who'd like to mastermind. First of all, they don't know how, if they don't know how. And then there are people who know how but are looking for people to mastermind with. And then there are people who know how and are looking for a system. And then there are people who have a system that's looking for an accountability for the group. So the International Mastermind Association was formed with the intent of doing all of that. And like Ursula shared earlier, we also focus on the family mastermind unit. You see, your family is a mastermind.
Is it a mastermind if you're not all on the same page, if you
yes.
will?
Yes, in the sense that I'll speak personally. You know, I can talk about my relationships with other people, but my relationship with myself is probably one of the most challenging that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always agree with myself. We don't always get along. So with that understanding in mind, how then am I to expect, even though the book says perfect harmony, that's a relative term, how then do I expect from others that which I may not be able to give myself in terms of perfect harmony 100% of the time? We're human. It's like the story we heard about, you know, the person who leaves every church looking for a perfect church, and every time they join, it's not perfect anymore. We're all human.
Exactly.
And so what I would encourage you to do, and anybody else who's listening, and we can talk about this offline, connect with Begin's group if you're a woman and you're looking for an opportunity to mastermind. Connect with our international organization, which is the International Mastermind Association, and you can join us also in our Facebook group called Think and Grow Rich Mastermind, or you can just Google International Masterminders. The point is this: when we seek, we will find. Because whatever we're seeking, do know that it is also seeking you, right? That's why we start this entire process with the desired chapter. And by faith, we know that what we're desiring will come if we're willing to do the work. So, Larry, we're going to ask you for, I'm going to go back around with my co-host and ask them any closing comments and tell people how they can get in touch. As soon as Bikini comes back, so Ursula, that means you go first.
The first thing I'd like to say before I say who I am and how you get...
We've all been taking breaks today. It's a one-week or another.
Great move, Bikini.
I was actually looking for your book, Anne, about the mastermind. That's coming. Doing.
Well, thank you, Bikin. I'll look for my book, too. Look, Bikin, she's always covering me. And listen, I am a work in progress. So what Bikin is looking for, I wrote a book on the subject on how to start and run an effective mastermind group. You can actually go to Barnes & Noble or...
Amazon?
Yes, or Amazon.
And what's the title?
It is How to... Start and run an effective mastermind group. But my name is McNeil. It is the McNeil Factor Mastermind. So when you search that, McNeil Factor Mastermind, and thank you again for being, but McNeil Factor Mastermind, I have three books there. They have the same basic cover. One is a journal, which is phenomenal. One is how to actually mastermind in terms of, you know, your agenda, how many people, and the instructions. And then the third book is actually a workbook, and I think Bikin can speak to that. And actually, you know, I could toot my own horn, but we'll let Bikin do that for me because she's teaching me as one of her mastermind buddies how to actually effectively market myself and brand, because I've been doing this forever, over 40 years, as a passion for free, and I'm watching lots of people make lots of money on what I've created, and so I will continue to do that. But Bikin is teaching me how to monetize, and really, you know, something came to me this morning as I was journaling, and it is this: we really honestly do a disservice to people when we don't create a way for them to work with us. Mm-hmm. And so I want to speak that into existence, not just to myself, but to all of you that's listening in. If you have the best mousetrap around, you really do a disservice to your potential clients if you don't create a way for them to work with you. So I'm a work in progress. Bikin is working with me and helping me to do that. So I'm going to turn it over to Bikin and then to Ursula to share, and Mary will have you have the last words, and we'll wrap up. I want to thank all of our listeners who are listening in, or whether it's on radio or Facebook or whatever it is. Thank you so very kindly for hanging in here with us. With the technical difficulties and all of the things we've experienced this morning, it has been a phenomenal show. And you have been a phenomenal guest because you've been so real and people are really related.
Thanks.
All right.
Well, so I'm going to jump in here for a second because you set us up with the concept of your question, Larry, and then the discussion of the perfect harmony with self. And knowing that one of the things that why we're here and why we're so dedicated to your success, you that are watching this, you that are being here, your desire, our desire that you have a life of such fulfillment, of such energy, of such abundance and prosperity, and to be thriving in what you do. And, you know, we bring someone like Larry to share his stories and share his process, because every single person that is watching this, or that has a family member that you want to say, come here and watch this, is truly saying, you know, Larry is like you. Larry is, you know, he's on the computer all the time. Larry's like you. He's not loud like Piggy. He's quiet. He's there for you. He's sharing that story. And that is so critically important that you understand that each one of us is walking the path. So I'm going to thank you, Larry, for your sharing and talking about the challenge of the mastermind and having Donna. And I'm so grateful. And thank you for being so vulnerable, because this woman, y'all don't, you have no idea of all the things she does and how she does what she does and how she serves. And she's so demure. And so, I'll help you do this to everybody else, but let me tell you, this woman kicks butt, but she doesn't share it to the world. So I'm asking, my job in this part of my world is to say, I love you, Anne McNeil. I love your books. I love what you do. I need the world to see it. We all need to experience you. We know we are all elevated by you, and we choose to elevate you. Whoop, whoop. That's what I choose to do with every single one of you. Right, Ursula?
Right. Absolutely. I cannot believe I have to pinch myself when I realize I'm associated with Anne McNeil. Yes, you are all that and a bag of chips.
Well, I say this before you start, Ursula. I really have to say this, and I receive everything everybody's saying, but I would really be remiss
if you say one word about it's not about me, I will bop you.
Well, I'm not going to say it's not about me, but I will say to God be the glory, because it really is. That is my story, and maybe at some point I'll share that, because I don't think that there's anybody on here that's been through anything that I've not experienced, and some of it once, twice, and three times. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so giving. But I do realize that people don't respect what they don't pay for. I'll tell that story another day. And so back to you, Ursula. Thank you.
Okay, what I want to say first is that today has been an example of watching Think and Grow Rich in action. Because when I think back at the fact that you were vulnerable enough to say you're disappointed in the fact that you have not, and you revealed what your deep desire is. So by saying you want your family and people to be influenced by what you believe in and have lived by, you have, in fact, there's a lady out there, Darlene, and myself, at least two people that love the idea that you said tablet of the heart. I mean, that will go with me for a while, because I speak like that. That resonated with me. Tablet of the heart. Oh, that's so freaking cool. And if it's just that one word, I mean, that one statement, that's good enough. Because I'll walk with that, and I'll think about what it means, and then I'll research a little bit more and apply it to my life, and then I'll remember that I got it from Larry. You know? Oh, so that's pretty cool.
Who got it from the Bible.
Okay. Now I have to go back and find it in the Bible. See? You just motivated me to go do something else I need to do. But in terms of what I do and how you can reach me, I am CEO of Sula 2. And we make old new in everything we do, in that we capture and preserve your story for others. That's why I'm so interested in what you're saying, because it is those nuggets that we want people to know about, because that's what will motivate them to go on. History positions us, gives us the foundation to go for those dreams that we have. That's why it's so important. And we capture that in any way possible, from books to videos, to legacy walls that are 30 feet tall. I mean, whatever. If it's about your story, we want to share it. And you can reach me through my website, sulatoo.com, S-U-L-A-T-O-O.com. In fact, it's right there, sulatoo.com.
Did you spell that again, please? What is that?
S-U-L-A-T-O-O.com.
And it's right behind her on the screen. So that's what she was saying. It's right here.
Yeah.
Okay, so Larry, if you can share with our listeners how people can reach you and any closing comments you may have.
Sure. Best way to reach me is by my email, lmyers2072@gmail.com. I am not very active with social media at this point, although I do have a Facebook page, which probably needs to get more work from me. You know, I haven't utilized that platform as much as I could. But the best way to reach me is by my email.
Okay, you want to share that email or put it in the chat and speak it so that the people who are listening on the other social media, we are on LinkedIn, we're Facebook, we're Twitter, we're on a lot of different platforms. And what I love about this program is that it is evergreen. And it is also on the radio, and people will be listening forever.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to be able to reach you. And the same thing with our co-host. And, Begin, we're going to come back to you so you can share which platform you want people to connect with you on.
Okay. Yeah, I typed my email address in the chat, so that's probably the best way to reach me.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure to be on your panel and to... you know, to share my story with you. My story continues. There's miles and miles to go, and that's one of the things that I like about this philosophy. You know, my thought process is that for me, this will be something that I'll take with me through day to day for the rest of my life, and I like to think the best is yet to come.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so thank you so very much. And Pekin, if you can share with our listeners how they can connect with you.
Oh, you could just go on any platform and do Pegin, P-E-G-I-N-E. You will definitely find me. And always remember that you could reach out to powerwomenworldwide.com. And yeah, Larry, I work with women. That's what I do. That's what I'm about. And I love every second of it, but I love having my allies and my friends, and I just know that you and Larry, we are friends now forever.
Thank you. I like that. I appreciate that.
Okay, so I think our producer, Laverne, if you can, we just got a text from one of our listeners saying they don't see Larry's email in the chat.
So I just put it in for him. I just did it.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. So can you say it out loud, Bakeem, because there are some who will hear it, but they won't know what it is.
Sure. So here it is, lmyers2072@gmail.com. Now let's just go ahead. That's lmyers2017, because that's how long he's going to be living, @gmail.com. So lmyers2017@gmail.com.
2072.
And please, everybody, just, you know, if you love Larry and got some insights, just let him know. Let us just shower him with some love, some appreciation. This is not his, you know, this is not his normal vehicle of presence. And I think that if you got something out of it, please email him at lmyers2072@gmail.com. And for everybody watching, always remember we're here Saturday mornings, every Saturday at 8 a.m. Rise and shine and be with us as we explore the book of Think and Grow Rich with our master builder of Ann McNeil, our esteemed guest. And you were missing two of our guys, Larry. You got all the women together. But we just also have, you know, Galen and St. Pierre, you just know that we're missing you so much. Very great. You're here, but we're going to see you again soon.
And I'll be a regular from this point myself. Trust me.
Oh, excellent.
There you go. You joined the mastermind. There
absolutely.
You wanted it. You got it. That's what we're all about, is being the mastermind for those, everybody watching. Right, Ann McNeil?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And I actually now do that through my clarity coaching, which you can find at annmcneil.com. annmcneill.com/clarity2020. So we will see you next week as we continue to wrap up this chapter and start the next chapter. That's it for us. We're out. Thank you. Everybody
Thank
have
you.
A great day. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
For more information about the